This is Sports Talk with Phil Kornblut, Chris Bergen, and Pat Daniel. Sports Talk is heard across the state on radio affiliates of the Sports Talk Media Network and is streaming live on sportstalksc.com, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. The South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number to call in is 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now, here are Phil, Chris, and Pat with tonight's edition of Sports Talk.
Okay, rock and rolling. Monday night coming off a busy, busy weekend. Hope you had a great weekend. Welcome into May. Welcome into Sports Talk. It's May Day. Isn't this like when the communist countries bring out all their arsenal and parade it around, things like that? Well, here on Sports Talk tonight, we are bringing out our arsenal of sports stuff and going to parade it out there for you tonight. We are jammed up, filled up to the brim with great stuff for you, including new USC transfer B.J. Mack. We'll call him B.J. Mackey. B.J. Mack will be with us live a little bit after 7 o'clock. We will hear from USC baseball coach Mark Kingston. I thought some good comments from him after yesterday's win over Auburn. I was at all three games over the weekend. Gamecocks very fortunate to come away with that sole win yesterday. They did not play good baseball. They just did not play good baseball top to bottom. They somehow found a way to win that thing yesterday. Well, a guy batting 145 hits a three-run homer. That's how you can pull something out. But you were in such a hole. The Gamecocks starting pitchers were just not good. Maybe they're getting it out of their system now from their standpoint. Let's see. What was it? They ended up with allowing like 18 earned runs in like 14 innings of work. Not good for your starting pitching. The Gamecocks had blunders in the field. They had blunders on the base paths. Auburn hit the long ball and, could have very easily swept the Gamecocks. But they got the one win to salvage that part of the series, give them maybe a little bit of a boost. But they are a beat-up baseball team. I mean, at one point, were without their first baseman starter. They were without their starting second baseman, without their starting shortstop, without their starting third baseman, without their entire starting infield outside of their catcher. And Wimmer's going to be out probably in a couple of weeks, probably going to miss it. Certainly this weekend, according to Mark Kingston, missed this weekend against Kentucky, and then maybe even the next weekend when they go to Arkansas. So that's not good. But you know what? They plug in somebody else, and they expect that individual to do the job. Meantime, Clemson is getting it done. What's that, five straight series victories for the Tigers now in the ACC? They beat Boston College. They have put themselves in a very fine position to maybe be in the conversation for hosting with a national seed, maybe not a top eight national seed, but something in the top 16. And because they're number 12 in the RPI right now. South Carolina didn't hurt itself too badly in the RPI. They're still number 2 behind Wake Forest. We'll get into all of that coming up. But nice win up at Boston College, a nationally ranked Boston College team for Clemson. So they're playing good ball. Caden Grice right now is playing like the player expected of him, the pitcher and the first baseman, hitting and pitching extremely well. So Clemson now has their exam week, and they're off until they play this weekend. Coastal Carolina won 2 out of 3, so they stay way up in the rankings and way up in the RPI. They won 2 out of 3 at Louisiana, so things continue to go well for the Shots. And we had the end of the NFL draft. Several players from the state, of course, selected. Several more signing undrafted free agent contracts. So these guys now head off to make the what they hope will be the real money. The truth of it is, most of them probably aren't going to make it in the NFL. Some of them will, but most of them probably won't make it through preseason games. They might make it a couple of games if they can get that deep into it. That's a good thing. Maybe you can land on a practice squad if you are one of those latter round picks or a free agent signee, which is a start for you if you can get your foot in the door. But still, I think, being chosen, being selected, signing a free agent contract, that's all good. And, also tonight, along with everything else, for the rest of baseball season, I hope it will work out this way because, I created March Madness for basketball many years ago, just sitting around the house and talking to the wife, and I said, you know, this basketball, it's maddening. It kind of feels like a March Madness. And she liked it. She liked it. And so many years ago, we were sitting around having a similar conversation in the month of May. And I said, all this baseball and everything kind of feels like mayhem. And I said, we have college baseball mayhem. Yeah. So she liked that too. So anyway, as part of our college baseball mayhem here on Sports Talk tonight, and hopefully with this schedule and everything working out, on Monday nights at 7:30, the rest of the way, former Liberty and Middle Tennessee State head coach, former USC assistant head coach, Jim Thoman is going to be with us to analyze what he is seeing around the SEC, the ACC, the other leagues, Sun Belt, Big South. He has a vast array of knowledge. He follows it to this day, even though he's out of baseball right now. Look, I'm not going to hide behind the fact, and he won't either. He made a mistake, and it cost him his job at Middle Tennessee that he voluntarily stepped away from. He could have stayed, but he voluntarily stepped away. And he is going to be back in baseball at some point, college level, professional level. He'll be back in baseball. I ran into him. He was at USC over the weekend. I ran into him and caught up with him. And then I had the idea, and he liked it. So he's going to join us tonight and hopefully on Monday nights moving forward at 7:30 to talk about the weekend just passed in college baseball and things happening around the country, Chris. So a little bit of real baseball knowledge coming our way.
I'm looking forward to that. And so you've got Allstate Insurance, who needs to cut you a check for mayhem, correct?
Hmm.
And I think the Irish and the French and the Germans would like to have a word with you about May Day. because it actually is to celebrate workers, international workers around the globe.
Yeah, but isn't it true, though? Don't the Chinese and the Russians normally bring out their weaponry?
Well, the Chinese like to do that often, and the North Koreans, too. Anytime Kim Jong-un decides he wants to show off his, you know what, he'll roll out his missiles and that type of thing. But, yeah. Not necessarily always on May Day, but good to hear that open. Well done, sir. And you're right. Going back to the baseball from over the weekend, you're going to have a clunker series normally throughout a season in college baseball. Not trying to make excuses for South Carolina, but it was their time. They just picked a bad time against a team they probably should have swept. Coming off the weekend, I mean, Auburn still below 500 even after taking that series. But the greater concern, and it's not time to push the panic button, but the greater concern you touched on. First off, the starting pitching. Not only did they give up, 18 earned runs? They gave up nine in the first inning alone of those three games.
Yeah.
One on Friday and four each on Saturday and Sunday. So who's the ace of the staff? Was that more so what we expected to see from Will Sanders, or was that just a blip on the radar after pretty solid performances against LSU and Florida? We'll see. And the other thing, if they don't get healthy, a season with such promise probably is not going to end the way Gamecocks, the team, nor the fans want it to, because I just don't know how you can continue to dive around and dodge the amount of bullets that have been thrown at that team, especially on the infield. I mean, you're taking out nearly half of their home runs at some point in time with injuries if you go through their stats. And when is McGillis coming back? That's an interesting question. You talked about Braylon Wimmer, how long he might be out if he's not ready to go at Kentucky and may miss the Arkansas series. Those are two huge series for them to try and cement a national seed. I mean, the injuries really is the one thing that could derail this team, as good as they have been. But if they get hurt, and they certainly have here the last month, if they can't recover from some of those injuries, that season of promise maybe not finishing the way they'd certainly hoped. But you just hope the Auburn series was a blip on the radar, not something that is going to showcase things down the stretch.
I really wonder, too. You know, they had the entire week off for exams. They'd had that sweep of Florida. Everybody was telling them how great they were. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, moving way up in the rankings and the RPI. And, you know, it's human nature to sometimes let your guard down. On top of that, the injuries as well. And to give credit to Auburn. Remember now, that's a team that played in the College World Series last year. They still have some weapons from that. And they can hit the home run. They've got power throughout their lineup. And the Gamecocks played right into that with some of their pitching because they just did not pitch well. And they were always playing from behind. They didn't have a lead in the series until
Tippett's home run.
Tippett's three-run homer. This is a guy, maybe the last guy on the team you expected to hit a home run
no
in
doubt.
This spot. He was batting 140. When he came into the game batting 135, he left the game batting 145. So first career home run, of course. And it couldn't have come at a better time for him and for his teammates because he lifted them up. They still had to avoid danger in the ninth inning because Auburn scored a run, had a chance to tie it up, but they got out of it. Proctor came in place of Veach in the ninth inning and got him out of trouble there. So it was, as Kingston said, it felt like they were bicycling uphill the entire weekend.
Yeah.
It was that kind of feel for the Gamecocks. So, you know, maybe they feel like, okay, lost a series. Second series they've lost this season. The other one was to Vanderbilt. So they've lost two series. No, Vanderbilt was in Nashville. So they've lost two series, one on the road, one at home. And I think Coach Kingston was exactly right when he said, you're not going to go through 30 games an SEC season and not lose some series and not have some down weekends. And maybe they can write this off as a one-off kind of thing. All right, here was our bad weekend coming off exams. Maybe we weren't entirely focused. Maybe the injuries caught up with us a little bit. Now, got to go to Winthrop on Wednesday and then up to Kentucky this weekend. And Kentucky's coming off being swept by Vanderbilt over the weekend. So, you know, how do you think Kentucky's feeling? And they were way up in the RPI, and they were way up in the SEC East. So it happens. It happens to you. So we got that going on. And let's see. Oh, race today. Pretty good race for a Monday. Martin Truex, who loves to race at Dover on Monday, doesn't he?
Yes, he does, and it's snapped a 54-race winless streak for him. And Ross Chastain is not sending out any Christmas cards. I mean, Kyle Larson just basically ripped into him in the post-race because Kyle Larson is talking about, and I thought it was a curious point, that he hasn't had a whole lot of luck. Kyle may need to go back through his history in NASCAR and realize how lucky he is to still be driving in the sport, considering the reason he was suspended. But that being said, he's won, what, two races here in the last month and a half, so it's not like he's finishing dead last every time. But he was none too pleased with Ross Chastain, and it appears just seeing some of the social media tweets coming out of the race, and it's something we can ask KT and certainly Jeff about later in the week. But it appears that around the garage, Ross Chastain is a guy you want to avoid. Not you. You don't want to be near him on the racetrack because he may run into you and knock your end your day. Because Kyle Larson was not pleased at all at the end of that race.
Yeah, well, for folks who don't know, it was in the relatively early stages of the race.
First stage, I think.
Yeah, and Chastain, he hits in the back. He hits the 15 car. He hits the 15 car. And that was Brennan Poole. He hits Brennan Poole. Chastain popped him, and he sends Poole up the track into the wall. And here comes Larson on the high groove there, up near the wall, and he had nowhere to go. And so, you know, it knocked him out, and Poole was done. I love Rusty Wallace. I wish Rusty Wallace would commit to Fox to be their full time guy. He was doing the Fox telecast today, and I think it was telecast, not the radio. Yeah, it was telecast.
Yes, it was.
And he said, they were talking about that incident, and Chastain told his radioed back to his crew. He goes, hey, that wasn't my fault. You know, I didn't mean to do that, da-da-da-da. And they were laughing. They were giggling up in the booth, basically. And Rusty said, you know, he's got a steering wheel, and he's got a brake, and he's got a gas pedal. He's got a brake pedal and a gas pedal and a steering wheel. And he could have prevented that in his first take of it, you know, his first observation of it. Now, you know, they were also wondering if something was going on with Poole, if maybe he got off the gas a little bit or something. I don't think Poole admitted to doing that. He just said he hit him from behind. He also said that somebody needs to whip his butt, talking about Chastain. But you're right. I mean, Chastain has been that guy the last couple of years. It seems to be in the mix of a heck of a lot of carnage on the racetrack, and the drivers are getting put out by him.
Yeah, when you start getting the reputation in the garage that you don't race cleanly, that's a bad reputation, one it takes a long time to overlook and sort of fix. And when you've got guys like Kyle Larson saying, what a you-know-what idiot, and you talked about what Brendan Poole said about him needing to get his butt whipped, my guess is the next short track race, Ross Chastain's not going to finish. Because he'll end up in a wall somewhere. And here's what you want, and I hate to think this way, but here's what you want if you're Darlington. You'd love to see that feud carry over for another week or so heading into Mother's Day weekend.
Yeah, they'll have something going on. They'll have we're two weekends away from Darlington now. We got Kansas this coming weekend, and that's usually kind of a cool-tempered track. I don't recall too many flare-ups at Kansas. Maybe I'm wrong. Dover, yes. Martinsville, yes. You know, short tracks, Bristol. But believe me, there'll be some feuding going on at Darlington, and looking forward to that coming up in just a couple of weeks. Major League Baseball this afternoon, the Braves are playing a doubleheader up at Citi Field against the Mets. The Braves won the opener by a count of 9-8, 9-9-1, 8-9-0. The Braves built an early 6-1 lead, and Sean Murphy had a big day in that particular game, had a couple of home runs for the Braves. I think they were two-run homers, a couple of two-run homers. Now, Ronald Acuna was hit by a pitch, and he also hit a massive home run, right?
Yes, he did.
And then he was hit in the shoulder, and so he's out for game number two. So that's a blow for the Braves there. They are trailing 2-0 in this second game.
That was the first at-bat of the ball game as well. And then something worth noting, it's of course being chattered about on social media right now, was Gary Cohen, the broadcaster for the Mets, right as Acuna is laying on the ground writhing in pain, says, quote, three Mets got hit in the first game.
Ah.
Just saying.
Way to go, Gary. So Acuna is out, but the Braves have battled back. They were down 2-0. They've just put three on the board in the top of the sixth. So the Braves have taken a 3-2 lead over the gnarly New York Mets, seeking to sweep that doubleheader in New York. They're playing a doubleheader because they were rained out yesterday. And so we'll see what happens as that moves on. NBA playoffs, now we're getting down to the serious stuff. With the conference semifinals, Knicks and the Heat. Heat went into New York and won the first game yesterday. And you got to Denver with a 1-0 lead over Phoenix. And you're going to get the Celtics and the Sixers tonight, Philadelphia 76ers tonight in Boston. I'm hoping that the Bruins blowing it the way they did last night, I hope it doesn't leave a bad feeling in the arena for the Celtics following those guys as they exit and the Celtics enter. It does look like, according to reports, that Philly is most likely going to be without Joel Embiid tonight as he continues to deal with that knee problem. And if that's the case, so be it. And then you've got, of course, looking forward to this too, the Lakers and the Warriors. What can you say about Steph Curry? I mean, he shot it a ton yesterday, but that's what you want your superstar to do. Ask me, in Game 7, I want my best player shooting it 45 times, whatever he shot it yesterday. He shot it a bunch, and he scored a bunch of points, and that's why they won.
Hey, so he ended up with, 50 points yesterday, and Klay Thompson said that was one of the best games he's been involved in. I think they feel like that one may – now, they've got a long way to go, and certainly getting through the Lakers won't be easy, but they feel like that, just getting a sense that Golden State now feels like, all right, we're in this thing, and we can come through the West and win the Western Conference and then see what comes out, most likely Boston out of the East, and see what happens in the finals. But this was a Golden State team. I saw some guys talking about this afternoon that just wanted to make sure they tread water long enough to get into the playoffs. And then crank it up and get rolling in the NBA playoffs. And clearly Steph Curry was ready to go last night for sure.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, he is great at what he does, and he does so many things. Of course, watching him last year in the finals against the Celtics just shoot them out of that series with his – I mean, you think you are playing him far enough away from the basket where he can't shoot it and make it, yet he will shoot it and make it, you know? And if you get out too far, he's so great driving by you with the dribble and making his moves in the lane or dishing it off. He's obviously just an extremely difficult guy to defend. In his own way, you know, one of the best players to ever play the game, just like LeBron in his own way. Some want to say the greatest. Maybe so, maybe not. Some want to say Michael Jordan. Some want to say Kareem or somebody else. In their own way, they all are dominant in the way they play the game. The bottom
best
line
shooter,
is
– perhaps?
Who's Steph? Steph?
Yeah, maybe not best player, but maybe best shooter to ever play the game.
Yeah, I think it'd be hard to argue against that. You know, in terms of deep shooting, you know, just guy that just dominates from so far, has a game that nobody has ever seen prior to his rise to prominence, because who else shot the ball so well from that far out and was allowed to do it, you know? So, yeah, I would say so. He brings that. Mm-hmm. He certainly brings that aspect to it. But a Final Four of Philly, Boston, Phoenix, Denver, Miami, and the Knicks, and the Lakers and the Warriors, that's pretty good for the NBA. I would think the rating should be, you know, very – you know, they're loving it in those offices in New York, that you've got big cities like Boston, Philly, and New York, and the Lakers, Los Angeles, all involved at this stage. All right, going to hit a quick break. Come back and get to your phone calls as well. 888-898-2525, South Carolina, Education Lottery, lucky number on Sports Talk. Since 2002, more than $160 million in lottery proceeds has been used to fund SC Hope scholarships for the state's college-bound students. Learn more about the lottery's impact at sceducationlottery.com.
Imagine a scrapbook filled with all your favorite memories of 75 years of NASCAR gone by. Now imagine that scrapbook going 190 miles per hour.
Have you ever?
No, I've never!
You don't have to imagine it. You need to get to Darlington, where the drivers of today tackle the track too tough to tame, just like they did your first time. NASCAR Throwback Weekend at Darlington Raceway, May 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at darlingtonraceway.com.
Hi, folks. This is Mike Morgan. I want to tell you about an exciting new product from my friends at Vision Air Solutions. Staying healthy in my line of work is so critical, and probably in yours as well. A large factor in all that is making sure we're breathing in healthy and safe air every day. That's where Vision Air Solutions comes in. They make sure your home has air purification for all the air pollution you can't see. Viruses, mold, bacteria, stale odors, cooking smells, and volatile organic compounds. They make sure your home is full of clean air and also offer HVAC duct cleaning and sanitation as well. Make sure you and your family are breathing clean air today by giving Vision Air Solutions a call today. 803-220-1811. That's 803-220-1811. Tell them Mike sent you.
Okay, let's jump to the phones. We'll take some calls. We got a lot of good stuff coming your way. We go to Gamecock Larry over in Swansea, leading us off tonight. Gamecock Larry, hope you had a good weekend, sir.
I had a good weekend. I'm not worried about the Gamecock losing the series. We'd been good if we could have won it, but we did pull out one, and so I'm okay with that. We didn't lose in the thing in the, what is it called, RPI? Is that what you call it?
RPI.
We still number three, but we're gonna take care of it. It's what we're gonna do, or what we're gonna have to do, looks like, is we're gonna have to switch our pitching and all that. We're gonna have to switch it up. We're gonna start the bullpen pitchers. And if we're going to start the bullpen pitchers, and then once we get a big lead, we're going to bring in these other two guys, because, man, they got pretty good once they give up four or five runs. The next couple of innings, they've done pretty good. But that's what we're going to do. We got nine more games to play. We're going to win at least six out of those nine. So that means we got a sweep one, a 1-0 first series. So what I'm going to say is we're going to win the two series on the road, and then an old Tennessee going to come in, and we're going to put it to them. We're going to sweep Tennessee. And you all can take it to the bank. Old Gamecock Larry is getting back right like he used to be. I think everybody say I had a slight stroke or something a couple of weeks ago.
Well, we got to run to a break, Larry, but you sound great. We hear you, and we'll be back. probably are aware, we didn't mention the first half hour, figured you probably knew this, that South Carolina football coach Shane Beamer moved quickly to fill the position on his staff after Jimmy Lindsey left to go to LSU. Travion Robertson, former Gamecock standout defensive lineman, played some interior defensive lineman. I actually played some on the outside, too, at South Carolina. Coached by Brad Lowing, recruited by Brad Lowing out of the state of North Carolina, was a really good player for the Gamecocks during the Spurrier years and went on and played some in the NFL, and he's been coaching most recently at Tulane, before that at Georgia State. So he is coming to South Carolina to be the new interior defensive line coach. In fact, he's going to meet with the media tomorrow, so we'll have that covered for you on Sports Talk. So Shane Beamer acting quickly. Obviously, like every good coach should, you have a list of potential replacements for everybody on your staff because you just never know. And I don't know if he knew that Jimmy Lindsey was talking to LSU, if Jimmy Lindsey had said, is it protocol that you tell your boss, hey, I'm talking to these people, something might happen, be prepared, or you just spring it on them. I don't know what happens behind those closed doors. Whatever the case may be, he obviously was ready for any kind of a move, and he had his man in mind, and he went and he's gotten him. Seems like a good pickup. I think Jimmy Lindsey was a good coach, unlike the midget minds on Twitter who turn on you. You know, as soon as you leave, you turn out to be a terrible coach, and it's an upgrade. Now, I don't know if it's an upgrade or not. I thought Jimmy Lindsey did a good job. It might be an upgrade, or it might just be a 50-50 thing where South Carolina stays where it is as a performing defensive line. But I thought Jimmy Lindsey had the Gamecocks playing some pretty good defense. They struggled against the run at times, but that's just not him. They've struggled against the run for a long time. But he developed some players. For example, Zach Pickens going to the NFL, getting picked. And he was part of a defense that was, if I'm not mistaken, kind of ranked inside the top 40, if not higher than that. So I thought he did a pretty good job, and I thought he recruited pretty well for them.
Are these the same Twitter minds that also were wondering why Will Tippett was playing until he hit the 3-run home run? And then
probably.
I'm sure they changed their mind immediately that, oh, he was the right guy out there.
Probably.
So, yeah. Social media is the death of us all. I think it ultimately will be.
Not going to be my death. Not going to be this boy. I read
it. I'm just talking about
laugh
society in general.
And just the idiocy that I see on there. But, I mean, it's so typical of and the beautiful thing about hosting a call-in show versus having people posting things on the internet and on message boards is that I guess you can control it to some degree on a message board. It might take you a few hours to go in there and delete something if you want to delete it. But here we have firsthand control. And, you know, you say something out of order, we have an opportunity to delete it. Or we can – the best thing is we can counteract what you're saying. We have a point counterpoint opportunity here on live radio that you don't always get in a message board situation. Yeah, I guess you can have people respond to your post. You put something out there and somebody responds, you can respond back. But it gets really juvenile. I think we all know that on message boards and on Twitter. It gets very personal and it gets very juvenile. And I just think I see it too much with fan bases. When a coach leaves who's done a nice job, he all of a sudden becomes the enemy and you're glad to see him go and the next guy's an upgrade. No, that's not always the case. And I'm not saying that this is not going to be an upgrade or downgrade or 50-50 split. I'm just saying that I thought for his time at South Carolina, Jimmy Lindsey did a really good job and developed players and handled his defensive front well. You sure did love him up until like Wednesday. You know, because he was home and he was welcome home and he was all in or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, that's just the way it is with fan bases. And I think Jimmy Lindsey did a nice job. Have no reason to think that we have another T-Rob at South Carolina now, Travion Robertson. Have no reason to believe that he won't do an excellent job as well.
I'm guessing, Phil, it's not just coaches, it's players as well, because if you went back and looked at the recruitment of, let's take Trevor Lawrence, for instance, as soon as he committed to Clemson, whatever other schools he was interested in, every fan base would have people that said, well, we didn't want him anyway. Mm. He's not going to be a very good player.
Yeah.
That turns out to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL.
I mean, that's the way the cookie crumbles. All right, a few quick things, then back to your phone calls, 888-898-2525. Our new poll question of the week has to deal with the draft. Clemson defensive end Miles Murphy had the honor. We should really have an award in our state. We should have a trophy in our state to go every year to the first pick in the draft from the state. Maybe we should start that. Maybe we should
start
that.
That's actually pretty cool.
What could we call it? Let's think on that. Clemson defensive end Miles Murphy had the honor of being the first player from the state picked in this year's draft. Who do you project to be the first player from the state taken in the 24 draft? Now, I came up with four names. I could have put some others in there. Obviously, I'm just going off of performance from this past season. So I went Barrett Carter, Clemson linebacker, Spencer Rattler, USC quarterback, Will Shipley, Clemson running back, and Jeremiah Trotter, Clemson linebacker. I think those are four pretty good, based on their performance of last year and what we hear about them, I think those are four pretty good choices. So far, 303 votes in today. Rattler's got 45.5% of the votes. Carter's got 23.4, and Trotter's got 23.1. And Shipley has got 7.9. So you have a chance to vote over the next several days on that. And, I think any of these guys could have tremendous seasons in 2024 and rise up in the NFL draft evaluation area and be a very early pick, maybe first-round pick. I mean, I don't know. Rattler probably has more to prove than any of those other three. What do you think?
Agreed. And if you put Antoine Wells in that category, where do you think he might slot as a wide receiver?
About him as well. That'd be an idea of one.
I think he'd actually probably get, and it's not a knock on Will Shipley, it's just the way the NFL is starting to change. And I was hoping Rick Sanford was going to be with us because I'd be curious about his thoughts with regards to how many running backs got drafted overall. But the NFL is starting to change so much. Now, Shipley's game, I think, probably translates a little bit better because he can catch the ball out of the backfield. But I think if you put a wide receiver in there, you'd see a lot more votes going that direction because, obviously, they are a hot commodity offensively. Mm-hmm. And I think I have the answer to your question because I agree with you. I think it'd be really cool to have a trophy. We could call it the Charleston because that was the first city incorporated in South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. So. Mm-hmm. That would be the Charleston to go to the first draftee from our state to go into the NFL. You're not big on the Charleston.
Let's continue to mull this over.
I can
think about it.
I'm okay with
Charleston.
That.
Let me think on that for a little bit. But I think we can come up with something. I think we do.
I think it's a great idea. I really do. I think it's a great idea.
Let's take it upon ourselves to get that done. Mention a few other things. Newberry baseball. They won their South Atlantic Conference Championship Series over the weekend, so they advanced to play in Kodak, Tennessee, the best 2 out of 3 for the South Atlantic Conference overall championship, and they are going to be playing next weekend or this coming weekend, Lincoln Memorial, best of 3 series to determine the championship beginning on Sunday. So the Wolves.
Rail Splitters.
Is that who they are, the Rail Splitters?
Yes, they are the Rail Splitters of Lincoln Memorial.
So they're doing well. Former USC punter Joseph Carlton signed with the Browns. The rankings this week in baseball, Baseball America, Gamecocks number 4, Clemson number 7, D1 baseball, USC's number 3, Coastal's number 8, Collegiate baseball, USC's number 4, Coastal number 20, Clemson number 25, Perfect Game, USC 3, Coastal 7, and Clemson now 18. In the RPI through Sunday, USC is 2, Coastal 7, Clemson 12, Wofford 46, College of Charleston 73, Winthrop 114, Upstate 122, that's 122 for Upstate, Charleston Southern 129, Presbyterian 159, and the Citadel at 217. Newberry. Receiver Deshaun Kitchings signed a undrafted free agent deal with the Chicago Bears. Clemson lefty Caden Grice is the ACC pitcher of the week. Coastal Carolina had some players sign as undrafted free agents over the last couple of days. Gerard Clark, Chargers, Lance Boykin, Seahawks, DeJordan Strong, Bears, and Tyler Roberts signed with the Calgary Stampeders of the Canadian Football League. A couple of former Clemson quarterbacks are going to get a shot to work out for NFL teams, Chase Bryce and Hunter Johnson. Bryce, he goes to the mini camp with the Jets and
good luck there.
The Falcons. I guess he'll go to two mini camps, it says here. He gets his chance in the rookie mini camps with Jets and Falcons. And Hunter Johnson, according to Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, will work out with the Giants and the Steelers. Didn't realize you could go to I guess you can do more than one if you're not signed to anything. So they will get their opportunity. Let's see. Ooh, Mississippi State has fired pitching coach Scott Foxhall.
Yeah.
Effective immediately. Fourth season with the program. He was really, really good when he was at the College of Charleston.
And not this year.
No, things aren't going well. Since they won the national championship, things haven't gone well. Mike Eggert of Wofford is the Southern Conference Pitcher of the Week. Clemson's Kelly Hester is the ACC Women's Golf Coach of the Year. And this marks the first time in program history that Clemson's had the Golf Coach of the Year. And a pair of the Tigers, Savannah Gruel and Annabelle Pancake, were named to the Women's All-ACC Golf Team. The North Carolina High School Athletic Association Board of Directors will consider a proposal during its meeting this week that would open the door for high school athletes in the state to participate in NIL activities effective July of 2023. I hate to say I told you so, but I told you way back it would eventually get to the high schools, and is starting to get to the high schools. If that's good, it's good. And if it turns out to be bad in some ways, well, then it will be bad. And this other news note in high schools, courtesy of Lou Bazejack of the state, the Airport High School baseball team, they have been disqualified from the 4A playoffs because of a, quote, inadvertent rules violation, according to a Lexington 2 school district spokesperson. The district released a statement on the matter that a player believed cleared for eligibility was found to be ineligible. The mistake was inadvertent. No fines or penalties for next season. The team will not be able to participate in the upcoming playoffs. And that's harsh. So yeah. South Aiken now becomes a number 2 seed and will host easily, with that game being moved to Tuesday. Aiken is now the 3rd seed, will play at Greenville on Monday. Midland Valley, which thought its season was over, now moves in and fills that vacancy and plays at Greenwood. Airport was 19-7 this year, ranked in the top 10 of the coaches' poll. That's harsh just for the entire team. I wish, you know, and it all goes back to a couple things. Number one, should the entire team be punished because of an inadvertent mistake, a paperwork mistake? Inadvertent. But the rules are in black and white. And I know Jerome Singleton, when he imposes penalties, he goes by the letter of the law that's in the rule book. Emotion aside, if it happened and you broke the rule, you pay the penalty. Now, what I'm wondering here is, why is there no appeal available? Is there no appeal available to this, or have they chosen not to appeal?
It's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And with the state playoffs starting, what, this week? Maybe as early as tomorrow? Would they have time?
Well, I don't. It depends on when they learned about this. Obviously, it just came out. Lou had the story at 5 o'clock today, so obviously it just came out late this afternoon. But I don't know. There's always been an appeal for situations in other sports. I wonder why this is not being appealed. We'll have to reach out and see if we can find out on why that's
staying
the case.
With the high schools real quickly before we get back to the phones. I've got a question about the North Carolina situation. In North Carolina, what Roy Cooper passed is NIL availability for college students only in the state. So if the high school league wants to go through and allow it for high school players, they're first going to have to change the law in the state of North Carolina, aren't they? To encompass, what would that be, secondary education to go along with post-secondary education?
Sounds that way.
I'm sure they must have a plan in mind.
You know, they must have a plan in mind about this thing if they're going to attack it and try and make it happen. So, all right, let's go to our break, and when we come back, we'll finish up the hour with phone calls. Phone number 888-898-2525. Mets have gone back on top of the Braves 4-3 in the top of the eighth inning. The Braves have scored three in the sixth to take the lead. The Mets have come back with two in the top of the eighth. And we will continue. More sports talk coming up in a moment.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Have you turned on the fun? Try Cash Pop from the South Carolina Education Lottery. Pick one number from 1 to 15, win up to $2,500, or play all 15 numbers, and you're guaranteed to win. Play twice a day to double your fun. It really is that easy. Visit sceducationlottery.com to get the details. Cash Pop, it's the light of the party.
Imagine a scrapbook filled with all your favorite memories of 75 years of NASCAR gone by. Now imagine that scrapbook going 190 miles per hour.
Have you ever?
No, I've never!
You don't have to imagine it. You need to get to Darlington. Where the drivers of today tackle the track too tough to tame, just like they did your first time. NASCAR Throwback Weekend at Darlington Raceway, May 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at darlingtonraceway.com.
All right, let's go to Andy in Columbia, take some phone calls here as we hit the top of the hour. B.J. Mack coming up at 7:05, some comments from Mark Kingston. We've got recruiting and Jim Thoman at 7:30. Great second hour coming your way. Andy, how are you? I'm surprised you're not watching the Mets and the Braves.
I am.
Well, I appreciate you giving us some quality time to take your attention away from that scintillating baseball game.
Well, I thought I'd call and clean up some of your mess. Murphy had 2 3-run home runs today, not 2 runs.
Okay. I'm not. You know what? I'm not taking that as a mistake. I was just listening to the Mets broadcast on my way in, so there.
Well, let's talk about a big mistake. When did you finally wake up and realize Jalen Brooks was drafted?
When did I wake up and realize Jalen Brooks was drafted?
Yeah. Your article.
I went back and changed it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was asking you.
Well, I wrote the article during the baseball game, and or immediately after the baseball game. Maybe it was during the baseball game. And then he was drafted at the latter end of round 7, so I just missed that, and I went back and put it back in.
I was just asking when you woke up and realized it, so you, I got that answer. Mm-hmm. Now, regarding Mr. Curry.
Wait, who TT'd in your cornflakes this morning? Just coming out here throwing.
Well, my Mets lost the first game, okay? So I'm a little
throwing bricks.
Up.
Throwing bricks. Okay, go ahead. Throw another
one. Hey, but
one.
You prevented Spencer Strider from striking out 9. So there's that going for you.
Someone needs to hold him down and shave that mustache off. Holy moly. That's just, I mean, I can see why people can't hit because they don't even want to look at the guy. I'm surprised they're not called for strikes, you know, for not interacting with the pitcher when they get to the when they get into the box. Mm. But regarding the basketball game, Mr. Curry yesterday, 20 for 38, 50 points, 1 turnover.
Amazing.
I mean,
amazing.
That doesn't say it all for a guy that's what, how tall? Not to mention he was double teamed. I mean, unbelievable.
He is incredible. I give him his due. He is incredible. What he does, nobody else has done it better. So, you know, he's going to give the Lakers, it's going to be a great series between those two. It's going to be very entertaining to see how how he does, how the Lakers try to defend him, and how the Warriors try and defend LeBron. Do they put green on him and, you know, try to see if he can get LeBron? I mean, LeBron's too old and he's been through everything. I don't think you can unnerve him or anything like that. So, but the matchup should be very interesting in that series.
But question on this, when they were in the bubble, didn't they play the Golden State in the finals for the West? I'm sorry, Golden State played New Orleans, in the, I believe, and when New Orleans had Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis wore them out. So I think the key is if Anthony Davis can play a game, that could be bigger than LeBron James and whatever he does.
Well, you just need to knock him down and hurt him. Every time he goes down, he gets hurt. So just...
Well, I'm just saying, if
just
he can
knock
play,
him on his tush,
he can be the difference. Now, just something I want to throw out regarding naming of the first round pick or the first pick. Why not one for South Carolina and one for Clemson? The one for South Carolina can be the Dr. Rick Trophy because he was our first number one. Now, I have no idea who.
All right, now you're hitting on something. You're hitting on something. You're hitting on something, but. I don't know. I think that waters it down. I think it's got to be the first. I think it's got to be the first player taken from the state, not one for each team. It could be. It could be a Coastal Carolina player one day. You know, it could be Grayson McCall next year.
Who was the first number one pick ever out of the state from any school?
That's a good question. Maybe that's our answer right there. Maybe that's our answer.
That should be who it should be named after.
That could be our answer. We're going to look that up. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. I like that.
You're more than welcome. You gentlemen have a great evening.
Mm-hmm.
And always enjoy listening to you. And, Chris, talk up a little bit more so Corn can be a little bit more quiet.
I don't say this very much, but go Braves. All right? Let's go Braves. Let's go Bravos. I don't say that very often. But against the Mets, especially with Andy on the phone, hell yeah, let's go Braves. That's a very good question. Can we find out who the first – No, well, we know Rick Samford was the first from USC. That'd be something. That'd be a good way to go with this thing, I think. We continue with your calls, 888-898-2525. Ron in Greenville. Welcome in, Ron. Hope you're doing well. Good to have you with us.
Phil, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Terrific.
Good. Phil, a while ago, I heard y'all talking about Seth Curry. And you know, I used to be in being radio, I went over to see Furman play one day, and they were playing Davidson, and he plays for Davidson. And so I said, wow, this guy's pretty good. So after the game, I went running down there, and I started to interview Seth Curry and everything. After about 2 minutes, after a commercial, they come over from TV and said, we need you. And so they took him away from me. So I didn't think much about it, and so I was going up the stairway there at the stadium there at Furman, and somebody tapped me on the shoulder, and I turned around. It was Seth Curry. He said, "I want to thank you for interviewing me." I said, "Oh my God!" Yeah. So that was pretty good there. That's one thing I remember. You know, one of the highlights of it being, I guess, in the radio business.
Well, I can remember, and thank you, and I'm glad you're doing well, seeing him play in the Chick-fil-A in Columbia when he was playing for his school in Charlotte, whichever school that was.
Charlotte Christian.
Okay. And, you know, skinny as a rail, but could play with the big boys, but nobody was recruiting him.
How do you feel? How do you feel for your Seth Greenberg? Because you know he wanted to go to Virginia Tech following his dad's footsteps.
Oh, yeah.
And they didn't want to offer him a scholarship. You could come as a walk-on. Boy, you talk about one of the great misses of all time.
All time. No question about it. And it just goes to show you, you never know. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network. You can reach the guys with the South Carolina Education Lottery lucky number. 888-898-2525. That's 888-898-2525. Now back to Phil, Chris, and Pat with the second hour of Sports Talk on the Sports Talk Media Network.
We are back, hour number two, Sports Talk, Sports Talk Media Network. Busy hour ahead for those of you just joining us. Great to have you with us. We'll take some more phone calls. We have got recruiting coming up for you. Jim Thoman at the bottom of the hour. Some comments from Mark Kingston as well. Right now, though, we welcome into Sports Talk one of the newest members of the USC basketball program. He announced his transfer intentions last week after starring at Wofford and earning all Southern Conference honors and then hitting the transfer portal, getting a lot of major attention. He decides on South Carolina. We welcome from Charlotte, but he's at Wofford finishing up his work there academically. B.J. Mack, good to have you with us here on Sports Talk. B.J., how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Appreciate you joining us. Congratulations. How's it feel now, a few days after the fact, that you know that you're going to get a chance to finish up your career in Columbia with the Gamecocks?
Oh, it feels great. It feels very good. I feel like so far that I want to still prove myself. So I feel like what's nothing best to be able to do it close to home.
You've had an interesting journey through your college career from Charlotte. You started out at South Florida, went from South Florida to Wofford, where you really blossomed there with the Terriers, and now on to South Carolina. Kind of take us, you know, through that journey and how you have evolved as a basketball player over time.
Yes. So when I was at South Florida, I really had enjoyed my time there, being able to be with a lot of my people that were good coming up, like Caleb Murphy. He was just there, and then my good friend Jameer Chaplin. He came in with me as a freshman. So being able to learn a lot from those guys that was there, and transition that to when I transferred to Wofford was really good, with being able to have guys like Storm, who played at Virginia Tech 2 years ago, and just following their lead. And then now it was my time to step up from my junior and senior year, and I'm just looking to be able to continue that run with the Gamecocks.
Where do you think you most improved your game during your time at Wofford?
I feel like I really improved going from the summer between my sophomore and junior year. It really got to me, like transforming my body, and that really helped me a lot going into that year, which made it easier for me to be able to blossom, because that's my junior year was really the year like I really blew up for Wofford.
You feel like your game is best played in the paint near the rim, or do you think you have a little more a distance away from the rim in your game?
I feel like the best for me is being able to play inside the paint. But I know, like, with certain matchups and everything like that, like, I am able to step out, and that's something that I can do. But it's not, like, my end-all, be-all game for it.
So, Lamont Paris made you, for him and the Gamecocks, target number one, I guess, when the transfer portal opened up and you were in there, and he went to see you right away, and that kind of got the ball rolling. Give us sort of the background of that, how the relationship developed and grew to the point where you decided you wanted to play this last season for Lamont Paris in Columbia.
I know Coach Paris from when he was playing at Chet in the SoCon. So I've seen a lot of how he's progressed so far the last 2 years before he got the head job here at South Carolina. So that was a very intriguing thing for me going into the process of finding the coaching staff that knows my game inside and out, because he did have to coach against me for 2 years. So being able to see that was a big plus for South Carolina. Then in the process of my recruiting process, he was one that showed just unconditional love to me and my family, always checking in on me. No matter what, if he told me, like, I could call him at any time, he would be there for me and anything. So that really was like a big part of my recruitment, of just finding somebody that can not just only be there for me on the court, but also off the court as well.
B.J. Mack, the newest Gamecock with us here tonight on Sports Talk. And B.J., Phil was hinting at this a couple of moments ago, talking about expanding your game for a 6'8 player that is built as well as you are, almost that Adonis-type figure that I think would translate to football pretty well. But you started to matriculate a little bit further away from the block and actually started shooting the three ball, especially this past season, considerably more than you had, let's say, when you first started at South Florida. Was that by design? Was that something you wanted to do to expand your game, or was it because the offense that Wofford almost required you to be able to shoot threes?
Yes, it was from like South Florida. They allowed me to shoot threes, but then at Wofford, it was more of just a game plan a lot. They love to stretch the floor out, have guys that can shoot. I mean, Wofford, everybody knows Wofford as being one of the teams that and that shoots one of the highest numbers of threes in the country for like pretty much all every year. So coming in, I was able to work a lot with shooting and being able to fit in with the guys that was there, putting in the work of being able to expand my game.
You scored 18 points when Wofford played at LSU back in late November. You scored 19 at Vanderbilt just a couple of weeks later. Don't know if you were thinking about transferring or at least considering the transfer portal at the end of the season at that time, but what did those games against Power 5 SEC opponents maybe tell you that your game would be able to match those guys if you transferred to a place like, obviously, where you ended up in South Carolina?
It just shows that just because that you're at, like, this is pretty much for anybody, that just because you're at like a mid-major, that doesn't mean that you can't do to play your game and be successful at the SEC or high major level. So within those games, I was going out to be able to prove myself that, hey, if I choose to decide to transfer or not, that I know that I can be able to compete at the SEC level.
Talking with B.J. Mack. Don't call him B.J. Mackey. That name's already been taken. I have to watch myself. B.J. Mack. Headed to South Carolina, a couple more minutes with B.J. You and your teammates had to suffer through a difficult year at Wofford, a mid-season coaching change. And I got, you know, you guys did the best that you could to kind of keep the ship afloat and win as many games as you could. What was that like going through that this past season?
It was a pretty tough ordeal that we had to go through with the coaching change, but throughout the year, we had a meeting with each other of banding together and being able to do it just for us. Just like it's not all about the coaches or anything. It's really about us as the players of this team, because coaches always love when a team is player-led. So, like, if you hold each other accountable, then like we did, we was able to salvage our season and be able to get to the quarter on the semifinal game of our conference tournament and be able to compete.
Were you one of those leaders?
Yes, sir, I was. Me and my two teammates, Messiah Jones and Corey Tripp.
Yeah. Do you foresee yourself, I mean, even though you're going to be a one-year guy at South Carolina, you'll be an older guy, and you're coming in with a pretty fair number of transfers who'll be there for the first time and a couple of high school guys. So could you see yourself kind of becoming a quick leader at South Carolina?
Yes, I could. I could see myself being able to show the guys how, you know, the ropes are being an older guy, being able to come in early or stay late at night, of knowing how to do scouting reports, things of that nature. But I know I'm a rookie just like some of the other guys coming in, the other transfer guys coming in, being able to learn the playbook, because we do have five guys that already know the style of play of how Coach Paris wants, and me and some of the recruits have a gist of it, but we don't know the details. So they can also be able to show leadership in that, of showing us things of how Coach Paris wants to do the situations and everything with that.
Yeah. All right, last thing. I'm just looking at some of your numbers. What impresses me for a guy your size, you're an 82% career free throw shooter. You've never shot under 80% in a season, and 82% at this point in your career after 4 years from the free throw line. Now that's terrific. What is it about your free throw touch or your method, or why are you such a good free throw shooter?
Just always being able to be in the gym. I always had to I know I had to convert being a big guy. Everybody says they don't want to be like Shaq shooting free throws or anything. So being able to not be that guy or want to be in the game late scenario that I know, like, hey, if I get the ball, I know they're not going to want to foul me because I know I can knock down free throws. And that's something that a lot of bigs that can work on a lot to be able to boost their numbers, because everybody's going to get fouled probably throughout the course of the game, and that's adding 2 to 4, maybe more points that you can get.
Well, there's free throw shooting, and then there's free throw shooting in the last minute, let's say, of a game, of a tight game. How are you under pressure?
I'm good under pressure. I'm built for it. I love it. My dad always put me in situations when I was younger to be able to in the crowd, yelling, screaming, to be able to do those type of things for the crowd during the season, like a conference tournament game or a big rival game. The crowd is going to be on you. They're going to call you any other type of names that could possibly call you under the sun. So being able to do that and be able to just play through those noise has been very great for me.
Last thing, and we'll let you go. I mentioned the other newcomers, the transfers, including a player from the Citadel who you obviously played against. So have you communicated with those guys? If so, what kind of feeling have you gotten from them? And, you know, this will be the last go-around for you guys in college. What do you think you can do with South Carolina in the coming season?
From the vibe that I got, that everybody's excited, everybody's ready to get on campus and get to work. We all feel like we can take South Carolina back to the Final Four, be able to compete at a high level, and not just we just have a chance at winning. That's what we feel like we can bring in, of being able to bring that energy and leadership into to the program.
Well, BJ, we wish you the best of luck, man. Great stuff from you. You handle yourself extremely well. You can make everybody forget about BJ Mackey, with BJ Mack being at South Carolina. You have to score a lot of points, but maybe you can do that. When do you arrive at South Carolina? When do you get on campus and you're able to start working out with them?
June 5th.
June 5th. Okay, my man. Well, we thank you for being with us. Congrats again. Good luck finishing up your exams there at Wofford. We know those are tough. And we look forward to covering you with the Gamecocks this coming season.
Thanks, BJ.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, BJ Mack, I think they got a winner.
I agree. I saw him play a couple of times when Coastal took on Wofford, and he was always a challenge. And you talked about his free throw shooting ability at 80%+. You're not going to be hack a Mack. You may be able to hack a Shaq, but you're not hacking a Mack, because his percentage individually was better than Wofford's as a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was terrific at the line.
In fact, you really were there really the player. Night the transition happened, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, it sure was. That was their first game after they made the change.
Yeah, yeah. They did a nice job holding that thing together during a very difficult time. So I appreciate BJ being with us, man. He can certainly handle himself. And, you know, forgot that he went from high school in Charlotte, then he went to Oak Hill Academy. So he's sort of used to playing at a high level, whether it's high school. Then he went down to South Florida and then Wofford, and not taking anything away from any of those schools, and now to South Carolina. So he's traveled quite a bit to kind of find his niche. Maybe he found it at Wofford. Now, as a grad student, and they don't have the graduate courses at Wofford, so that's why he's on the move again. He still has eligibility, and he can't do the grad thing at Wofford, so he goes to South Carolina as a grad student. But all I need to know, too, is that Alabama wanted him, LSU wanted him, Arkansas wanted him. So that tells me he's the coaches, the people who really know best, feel like he's got some skills.
Well, LSU got to see him up close and personal. They probably had enough of an eyeful of B.J. Mack that they thought, hey, when he gets in transfer portal, we need to get him. Rather play on our team than have to go up against him.
Yeah. How many times do you think Derek Scott, the voice of Gamecock basketball, will call him B.J. Mackey just because you're not thinking and it just flows, right?
Well, it does, but unfortunately, it would probably be harder for somebody like, say, Mike Morgan, the older guys through the program who were around when B.J. was actually playing.
Yeah.
Might have been a little more difficult because, it's pretty simple. You think South Carolina basketball, after Alex English, one of the next names that comes down the pike is B.J. Mackey. But this is it. And if he matches B.J. Mackey's ability on the floor, Carolina fans are going to really love him. There's no doubt.
Well, I think they got a good one right there. I'm looking at a mock draft for 2024, of course. They're already coming out. This was CBSSports.com. Maybe we should have put Andrew Mukuba on our list because they've got him as a first-round draft pick. I thought about it. They've got him going to the Cowboys at number 26. But he didn't have a good year. He didn't – I mean, I know he's a natural, really natural player, but he had his issues last year. Remember, he caught a lot of grief from Dabo Sweeney. But obviously, just watching his workouts, workout warrior, and his measurables must look very good at this point. If you looked at his film from last year and based it on that, I don't think you'd project him as a first-round pick. Would you?
You wouldn't think so. Probably not. But, again, skills maybe don't always translate to team skills. And, you know, that entire secondary caught a lot of grief, not just from Clemson fans, but from their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, but obviously the NFL scouts see something in him that I think would translate well. And I'm curious about that pick slot for Dallas. That's towards the back end of the draft. That they anticipate them in a division. I don't think they're going to win because Philadelphia's not going away. That puts them, unless they're already slotted into 26 for next year via the trades. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that would already be set up that way. So, yeah, that's boding well for the Cowboys and Cowboy fans.
Mm-hmm. Let's also not forget, though, he suffered a dislocated elbow during practice the first month of the season last year, had a huge brace on his arm much of the year, really messed with his mobility. Also, he battled a knee injury during part of the season and kept playing through it in large part due to their lack of depth at the position. But he's certainly looking for a bounce-back year this season.
Okay. Thank you to B.J. Mack. Going to hit the break. We'll come back with more. We got recruiting coming up. Some Mark Kingston comments and Jim Thoman at the bottom of the hour as well. Maybe squeeze in a quick phone call or two here in our next, 50 minutes or so. And I'm going to try and keep my mind on things, even though the Celtics and the Sixers will be tipping off here a little bit after 7:30. I'm sure TV will drag it on for a little while past 7:30.
Check out James Harden's outfit, folks, going into the arena.
I don't want to think about things like that. I just want to win, baby. Be back in a moment.
Show your team pride wherever you go with Founders Federal Credit Union's Collegiate Debit Cards. Get your University of South Carolina and Clemson University debit cards at any Founders office or by calling 1-800-845-1614. Plus, our debit cards are digital wallet ready, so you can pay however you please. Not a member? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com or one of our 37 convenient locations to see if you qualify for membership. Terms and conditions apply. Founders Federal Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
George Bryan here for Tsunami Bar Sports, and some say the fun is in the winning. I say the fun is in the training. And Tsunami Robbie, what do you say?
George, we all know you get more done when you're having fun. This technology is different, it's engaging, but it's also a lot of fun to use.
Hi, this is Phil Kornblut. Be sure to click on the digital ad on sportstalksc.com and get 5% off any Tsunami Bar order using promo code BBB5. Don't wait, order today.
Life, it has its ups and downs. Sometimes it's little things like hitting every red light or dropping your cell phone. Maybe it's the bills, rent, or pressure at work. But when it comes to the South Carolina Education Lottery, you should never feel like playing will solve everything. The lottery is a game. It's played for fun. So set a dollar amount. Expect not to win and make sure responsibilities, family, friends, and work come first. Visit PlayResponsiblySC.com.
Quick phone call from Bruce in Missouri, then we'll drop the recruiting notes on you tonight. Bruce, welcome into Sports Talk. How are you?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for taking my call. I was just calling Pat to let him know that the internet was down at the bottom of the last hour. Mm. But I'm on my phone talking. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. No, thanks for that, though, Bruce.
Pat, can you fix the internet around the world?
So as most folks around my age will tell you, the easiest way to fix the internet is unplug it and plug it back in. I can certainly try that.
I will say Twitter was having some problems this afternoon.
Call Al Gore. He'll get it fixed.
Al Gore, yeah. Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I just called to tell Pat that. Anyway, you know, thinking about...
Hey, you know what? Today, that qualifies as the best call of the night.
Oh, and I want to thank Larry for calling in on his health. I'm glad he's getting better, feeling better.
No, and actually, Larry's call, your call, Ron's call, all qualify as great calls. The other call in the dumper.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. You know. Anyway, but, you know, today's game, it's just getting worse and worse about the attitude, the thuggerism in the game. All the sports are just getting that way. Guys showing out on the you know, field. And, yeah, it's just getting dirty. And something needs to be done about it.
Are you referring to the issue in the Braves game?
No. I'm talking about the normal. If somebody makes a tackle, they get up and get in their face. You know, it's thuggery. It's what it is. Trying to push people around. Just go back to the huddle. Mm-hmm. You know, or quit flopping around on the basketball court like a fish. Mm. You know, and try to fool the refs that hey, he ran over me. You know, it's all fake. Just taking away the quality of the game is what I'm
saying. Times have changed. And thank you, Bruce. Appreciate the phone call. Times have changed from how things were done, you know, back in your day. And I think your day was before my day. Then my day. And then my day was before Chris's and Pat's days. And before their days. I mean, society evolves into new things, right, guys? Mm-hmm. I mean, what was going to happen 60, 70 years ago? How people handled things then? Totally different from how people handle things now. And it's all, over time, it becomes accepted practice. It just does. All right, we'll continue with the calls? Or no? We'll continue? No? Okay. We can do recruiting here real quick before we hit the bottom of the hour. Recruiting report is brought to you by Seawells. For the very best in the catering business, we endorse Seawells. They have our personal endorsement, 803-771-7385. Their location, 1125 Rosewood Drive, and their website, SeawellsCateringSC.com. And, Pat, Daily Lunch and Buffet cranked it up today, continuing all week, 11 to 2 for $13.
All 5 days this week. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Seawells will bring you Southern Fried Chicken, Herb Roasted Chicken, a lot of chicken, and grilled hamburger steak and onions. I'm sure they'll have plenty of gravy as well. Wednesday, carved applewood smoked ham, Southern Fried Chicken, and then the best deal on wings in town, lemon pepper and teriyaki chicken wings. Expensive everywhere else, only $13 for all you can eat at Seawells. And then if you'd like, I can continue, or we can give the rest of the week as the week progresses.
Yeah, do it as the week progresses.
Perfect.
Because we're running tight. That's Seawells. Check them out. Monday through Friday, 11 to 2, Daily Lunch and Buffet over at Rosewood Drive. So, linebacker Stephen Soule, 6'3", 215, of Powell, Tennessee, outside of Knoxville. He and USC getting pretty tight. Going to take an official visit to USC the first weekend in June. He's been there like three other times for games. He was there for the spring game. Really liking what he's hearing from Clayton White. They like him as a outside linebacker, maybe a rush defensive end. He had 135 tackles and 17 sacks last season. Tennessee, which is right down the street from him, not a huge factor with him right now. He's not all enamored with them, and they're not really recruiting him. He visited Miami, South Florida, Virginia Tech this spring, and he's also looking at Kentucky, Miami, and Mississippi State for official visits along with USC. Clemson in the top five with offensive tackle Fletcher Westphal of Leesburg, Virginia, 6'8", 330. The others are Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, and Florida. He saw everybody over the spring. Clemson in the final 10 with offensive tackle Jamison Riggs, 6'5", 280, of Hiram, Georgia. The others are Ohio State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Southern Cal, LSU, Auburn, Penn State, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. Clemson and USC, top 11 with cornerback Jalen Crawford of Lilburn, Georgia. The others are LSU, North Carolina, Texas A&M, Louisville, Florida, Miami, Georgia Tech, Tennessee, Auburn. Defensive end Jordan Thomas of Ramsey, New Jersey, set an official to USC June 23rd. He'll also visit Rutgers, Georgia, Michigan. Safety K.J. Bolden of Buford, Georgia, said the only official he has right now is Ohio State June 18th. He is considering visiting Clemson for their lone official visit weekend, the first weekend in June. We got a few more notes to share with you. And Jim Thoman coming up. All right, just a moment. Jim Thoman's going to join us as we commence college baseball mayhem here on Sports Talk as things really heat up from a college baseball standpoint. Let me wrap up the recruiting report. Had just a couple of other notes to pass along tonight, and then the coach will join us. So we talked about K.J. Bolden. Let's talk about Clemson target cornerback Emilio Agar to Philadelphia. He was offered by Oklahoma. USC target defensive end Dylan Stewart visited Oregon over the weekend. USC coaches are scheduled to be in the school this week. USC offered linebacker Elijah Newby, 6'3", 210 of Cheshire, Connecticut. USC target 2025 offensive tackle Nick Brooks, 6'8", 345 of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, formerly of Buford, Georgia, was going to announce a commitment today, then decided not to after moving back to Iowa for family reasons. He visited USC in March. He has the Gamecocks in his top 10 with Iowa, Iowa State, Florida, Penn State, Texas, Alabama, Florida State, LSU, and Tennessee. Offensive lineman Campbell Vandiver, 6'7", 275, Brentwood, Tennessee, accepted a PWO offer from USC. Former Clemson corner Malcolm Green announced he's transferring to Virginia. Former First Baptist receiver Sincere Brown is transferring from USF to Campbell. Former USC reserve offensive lineman Colin Heinrich was offered by Georgia State and Marshall. Clemson walk-on place kicker Liam Boyd, who was competing for the starting job, announced he's transferring. And 6'3", Rowan Ireland of Lucy Beckham committed to the Citadel. This is basketball, of course. And former Charleston Southern guard Talik Chavez is transferring to Louisiana Tech. There you go with recruiting brought to you by Seawells. I carry that over just so Coach Thoman could hear it and just remember who is the original recruiting guru. Coach, welcome in. How are you?
Definitely the recruiting guru. There's no one else better than Phil Kornblut when it gets to recruiting.
Well, thank you for saying that. It's great to have you on with us, and it was really neat to run into you at the baseball series over the weekend in Columbia. Glad to know you're doing well.
Yeah, you were looking pretty good. You look like you've been working out a little bit, man. You don't look a day over 54.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And you've been spending some time lifting some iron.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting at home watching a little Major League Baseball and watching my son play a little bit of pro baseball, watching a little Netflix, and other than that, I'm at Planet Fitness working out every day.
Okay.
Trying to get in shape.
Well, you know, you're not far removed from coaching college baseball. You've been around the Southeast quite a bit. You keep an eye on things nationally, and you've been kind enough to offer up your services to us here as we go down this important month of May and maybe into June, into the postseason, to talk about what's going on in college baseball. So let's begin by what you saw this weekend. You were in Columbia for much of that Auburn series. What did you think of those two teams?
Well, I thought it was any time in the SEC, no matter who you're playing, it's going to be two good teams. I mean, the league obviously is the best league in the country. And Auburn's hot right now, and they're swinging the bats well. And South Carolina has three or four, I think they had at one point their entire infield out, if you count Cassis being out at first, and McGill at second, and Wimmer at third, or Wimmer at short. And, they just got to get in the training room with the training guy and make sure that they're healing up because they're banged up right now, but I think if they can get healthy, they're going to make a great run down the road for sure.
I imagine you, like the Gamecock coaches and the fans a little bit startled by the way their starting pitching looked this particular weekend. For a team at that level, it's unusual to have all three of your starters kind of struggle like they did in the same weekend. You might have a weekend where one doesn't get it done. Usually the other two pick it up, or maybe vice versa. But this was all three this weekend. Did you see anything in particular, or do you just tip your cap to Auburn and the approach of their hitters?
I know Auburn can hit because I faced them last year. And really, really good hitting team. They got a couple guys that played professionally as their hitting guys. They're really, really good teachers, and they swing the bat really well. So Auburn, you know, they're one of the top hitting teams, just like South Carolina is as well. I mean, South Carolina, I think they're still second or third in the country in home runs and on-base percentage and walks, and Coach Lee's doing a really great job with them. But the SEC is very difficult to run the table. And South Carolina has an unbelievable record, and they're doing great. I'm not so sure a loss here or there, it might not be a bad thing, because if they can get these guys back healthy, now they may be, you know, they were going to be the hunted. Anytime you're in the top, you know, five in the country, you're the hunted. So There's a little bit more heightened awareness when you're playing a team that good. So the fact that they lost two out of three, I thought it was great that they came back on Sunday. And, it's all about avoiding them sweeps. The sweeps will get you. But, give credit to Auburn. I mean, you know, just last week the pitchers they pitched really well against Florida, who's one of the top offenses in the country, and swept them. Mm-hmm. And I think the ERA right now, I hadn't looked at it for a while, but they were in the top two or three in the country, South Carolina was, ERA-wise. So you can't pitch well every weekend. And I think once they get the position players healthy down the stretch here, I think it's going to be a fun ride for the fans and for the team. I think they got a great squad, and Coach Kingston's he's pulling all the right, pushing all the right buttons right now, and I think they're going to be fine. They just got to get healthy.
What do you make of this SEC top to bottom when you see South Carolina, LSU, Kentucky, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, that's five teams, and Florida, six teams in the top 10 in the RPI?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going to get, you know, there's eight teams right now that are easily in a regional, and four or five of them are hosting at least, if not more. And then you got Alabama. I think they're in the 20s now, RPI. Tennessee has done really well the last couple weekends. And even Georgia, they don't have enough wins, but their RPI is really good, and their strength of schedule is number one in the country. So that league, you're looking at eight teams getting in, maybe even 10, or shoot, knowing the SEC, they can get 11 in. And it's the same thing in the ACC. Wake Forest is right now, I think they're number one in the RPI, and Duke is eight, and UVA is 11th. And don't look now, but the Clemson Tigers went from, I think they were 42, like 2.5 weeks ago in the RPI. And just, I think they swept NC State, up in NC State and Raleigh, which is hard to do. And then they just beat Boston College, his RPI is 13. They beat them two out of three. So Clemson has gone up 30 points in the RPI in their last two ACC weekends.
Hmm. And their strength of schedule is now number three. So, I mean, they've got some really good numbers in their factor.
Yeah, well, the SEC will get 8 or 9, maybe 10 in. The ACC, they'll get 7 or 8 or maybe even 9 teams in. I mean, you're talking about the two best leagues in the country, no doubt.
What's your take on what Coastal Carolina's doing, Gary Gilmore and company, and how they're sitting in there like number 7 in the RPI?
Yeah, well, I faced Gary Gilmore an awful lot, and we didn't win too many games when I faced him when I was at Liberty. Going there and playing is very difficult because, you know, you get the wind blowing out, and then they got these really good hitters, and they also have good pitching. I mean, he's back maybe as good as some of the national championship team, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, I guess, when they won it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little longer than that, I'm not sure. But no one, if they host, no one's going to want to go in there to Coastal and play because, they, you know, you got to score 10, 12, 15 runs to win a game against them. Now, it will be interesting. I noticed Clemson beat Coastal earlier in the year, and they play again next week, I believe. If Clemson were to beat Coastal again and then have a good run down the stretch and have a good ACC tournament, you know, Clemson may be hosting, and you know South Carolina's going to host, and Clemson hosting. You might have three teams in the state hosting, but if Clemson does beat Coastal, then you know they're 2-0 against them, and that might be a factor in who hosts and who doesn't. But I think all three teams, South Carolina, Coastal, and Clemson, right now are, you know, obviously potential host teams for sure.
Mm-hmm. Jim Tillman with us tonight, starting what are you calling it, Phil? Baseball mayhem here on Sports Talk. Is that what we have settled in on? Is
no, I'm still thinking on. I'm still thinking on a name for the segment here for Coach Tomaine. I got to come up with something on that. We'll come up with something for next week.
All right, so whatever we decide to call it, we're thrilled to have Jim Tillman with us here tonight and Mondays moving forward. And, Coach, since you worked and coached at the sort of mid-major level at both Liberty and Middle Tennessee, you can kind of give a really good perspective on what Gary Gilmore and teams of that ilk have to do. How difficult is it to maybe establish themselves as a national powerhouse when you're not playing in an SEC and maybe people look down at your schedule because you don't see ACC pitching or SEC pitching on a weekly basis?
You know what? That's a great question because the mid-majors, there's some really good teams out there. And Gary Gilmore and Coastal Carolina, and then when Stony Brook a few years back made the College World Series, it showed the mid-majors that you can get to Omaha. It's very difficult and it's rare, but Coach Gilmore, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. That guy knows how to coach. He knows how to recruit. They got a beautiful stadium down there. It is difficult for the mid-majors to get in a regional, get in a large bid. I mean, you can win 40 games and have an RPI of 45, and you're barely getting in or you're not getting in as a mid-major. The SEC, ACC, they have built-in RPIs to where they're beating up each other. They're all in the top 20, 25 in the RPI, and it's a little bit easier to get a good RPI in them leagues because you're playing good teams all the time. But it's very difficult. It's amazing that Coastal Carolina, I think they're sixth or seventh in the RPI right now. If there's anyone that knows how to schedule and how to get a good RPI, if you need that information, you call Gary Gilmore because he's figured it out down there at Coastal. And once again, they're going to sneak back in there. And you got to watch out for that team. I mean, they showed, you know, a few years ago that a tiny team in Myrtle Beach or Conway, South Carolina, can win the national title. So it is harder, way harder for the mid-majors. You know, like Coach Holbrook is down at College of Charleston, have another good year. And I think they're, you know, in the 70s RPI, so maybe they have to win their conference. But, you know, that they're having a nice year down there. I'd like to say another thing, get off the subject a little bit. Not many people know this, but, you know, Landon Pyle and Trey Dyson are over at North Greenville. They won the national title last year, but they had a player that just broke the D2. I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet, but he broke the D2 national all-time record for RBIs. The kid, John Michael Fale, I think he was from Boiling Springs, and I was at College of Charleston at the time. I should have recruited him. But he's been at North Greenville. He has over 310 RBIs, and is getting ready to smash the D2 home run record. So I hope maybe the scouts are listening in because that kid deserves a chance. Whether it's D2 or D3 or JUCO, I mean, that kid can hit. So I just wanted to mention that. And obviously, the reason you saw me, Phil, at the stadium last week because Kip Bocknight was retiring his jersey, and Kip was nice enough to call me and invite me because I was one of his coaches at the time. And that was just a great, great, great event and well-deserved by Kip. And a lot of people attended it, and I think that was just great for the program to retire his jersey. And it was just a good time. Everyone had a good time.
Absolutely.
Proud of Kip.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're going to say thank you very much for tonight. We look forward to doing this with your schedule permitting and your availability on Monday nights as we look back at the weekend and look ahead to things in the college baseball mayhem, as I like to call it. And we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Got one more minute. I got three Toman tidbits for you.
Three Toman tidbits. Lay it on us.
Nice.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Mississippi State pitching coach Scott Foxhill got let go today from Mississippi State. Scott is one of the nicest guys, one of the best coaches out there. Heck, they just won the national title, I think, 2 years ago.
Correct.
Their pitchers, they had a lot of guys hurt, and they just weren't performing. I don't know what happened, but shout out to him. He'll get back on track here soon. Someone will pick him up quickly. Another thing that people may not know about, there's a few rumors out there with Stuart Lake maybe going into professional baseball and trying to manage in the minor leagues. That's a TBA thing, but here he is getting some interest from them.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to say was I love what Coach Kingston did defending his player. He got tossed early in the game. Sometimes that fires the guys up, and I think it did. But Denny was at bat, and I don't know if they were arguing whether it was a balk or a pitch clock violation or what, but Denny definitely didn't swing. But as Kingston got tossed, and they came back and won. So I like to see that. The players love you. Love the coaches when they defend their players. So that was good to see.
Absolutely. We thank you very much, sir. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday night.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, guys. I appreciate it.
Fantastic, okay. Coach. Thank you. Okay, Jim Toman, I'll come up with a name for the segment here by next week. Got to work on that and the name of our trophy for the first player picked in the draft from the state of South Carolina. We got some work to do. We appreciate
got
Coach Toman. Yeah, appreciate Coach Toman jumping on. He's going to be fantastic. I can sense that already. We are going to hit a quick break and then hear some of those comments from Mark Kingston. Time permitting, you'll hear him talk about being tossed. And you'll hear it from him himself. That was a pretty fiery moment. I don't think we'll get to this part, but I asked him later on about umpires and how do you miss a pitch clock violation? Because it's not like a moving target. You know, it's stationary in front of you. And he said, you know, umpires do a great job. They have too much on them. The home plate umpire, they need to put a clock behind home plate so the pitcher can see it and let some other umpires take over that duty.
Hi, I'm Jim Corbett. I've been an attorney for more than 30 years. There's one thing I've learned about injury cases. It's you need the personal touch. You need the lawyer to get to know you and describe your damages. You don't want a case manager talking to an insurance company and then talking to you and then talking to maybe to a lawyer with limited experience at the last minute to try to settle a case. I talk to you. I find out what your case is about. Jim@JimCorbettAttorney.com. Jim@JimCorbettAttorney.com for your injury cases.
Parents ask, what's the best way to save for college? I'm State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and my answer is always open a Future Scholar 529 College Savings Account. It's easy. You can get started online with any amount. It's flexible to adapt your child's college dreams. And you can deduct 100% of your contributions from the South Carolina state tax return. So what are you waiting for? Go to FutureScholar.com and see why it's the smart, easy way to save for college. FutureScholar.com.
Major Billy Downer here from the Department of Natural Resources, and DNR is excited to announce the implementation of Go Outdoors SC, a new online licensing and boat titling system that you can access right from your phone. Through this new system, customers can purchase their hunting and fishing licenses, renew their boats, apply for lottery hunt opportunities, and complete electronic harvest reporting requirements. For more information, visit Go Outdoors SC at your local app store.
Appreciate Jim Toman being with us. That's going to be a great segment for us moving forward here the rest of the college baseball season. Here is a little bit from USC baseball coach Mark Kingston. I thought this was some good stuff worth playing back tonight after the end of that series yesterday in Columbia. They lose 2 out of 3 to Auburn. Here is Mark Kingston's comments and taking some questions.
Well, very proud of that team. Clearly, it felt like we were trying to pedal a bike uphill all weekend, and just to dig deep and find a way to win that game and keep our record in a really good spot, both in the league and overall. That was a huge thing for us to avoid that, the sweep there, and find a way to win. So real proud of those guys.
Marco, just if you can, explain what happened with the ejection, and then going forward, considering that I think it was about the pitch clock and not about ball and strike, is there a way you can appeal that?
Well, I hope so. The clock was clearly on zero. It wasn't called. I can't say a whole lot more than that. I think I was ejected, not for what I said, but because I was in the vicinity of the umpire trying to get an explanation, trying to see if we could get some help from one of the other umpires, because it sure seems like we've had a lot of, you know, for all around the country, we've had no problem calling pitch clock violations, and that one was clearly at zero. So that was my concern at that point.
Yeah, Coach, how proud were you once you had to go back there to see them be able to pull out that? And is there a part of you when that happens that hopes that that's maybe a spark for them to shift the momentum?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You know, once it happens, I mean, I did not go out there with the intention of getting thrown out. But once you do, then you have a few minutes in the dugout, you know, to try to, you know, try to say, hey, let's try to use this. Let's try to use it as whatever if we need a jump start or but I'm not taking any credit for that win. It was the players. It was everybody in that dugout. Coaches did a nice job making decisions in that game. So I'm not taking any credit for that, but I'm just glad we won. Glad we won.
Two-parter for you. First one, just curious, where were you watching the game, or were you able to watch after the ejection?
I was watching on television in my on the second-level locker room area. And it stunk. It does. I'm ashamed of how uptight I was watching the game. I felt like a fan, and I guess I can relate to the fans and how you can you know, just be a little uptight watching that game. And my wife shot me a text and said, "Do you need any company?" And I'm ashamed also to say I responded, "Sorry, no." I wasn't in the right mood at that point, and I'll have to make up for that later, I'm sure. But yeah, it was tough. It's not fun not being with your team, and you know, that's why I was really happy that they came through the way they did, because it's just, you don't want to be separated from your team like that.
I'm guessing seeing Tippett hit the homer made you a little less uptight in that moment. Just how did you react to that? And obviously, first career home run, haven't seen a lot of power out of him. Just what does it mean for him to be able to produce
Well,
like
again,
that?
I'll compare myself probably to how fans are and how I am with football games, too. You went from, we got to get a hit here, and you're uptight about that. Then he hit the homer, and then you're immediately thinking, okay, how are we going to protect this lead? So you're uptight both times. And again, when you're out of the dugout, you have no control. In the dugout, you stay much more calm, and you're thinking about situations, and you're communicating with coaches and players, and you're thinking an inning ahead, a batter ahead, all those things. And when you're up there by yourself, you have the ability to do none of that. And so not enjoyable. So, again, I'll just defer back to, I'm glad so many guys did so many great things to make that happen. You know, the pickoff from French was huge, and Veach getting out of bases loaded jams was huge, and Tippett's defensive play with the bases loaded coming in on a slow hopper when he started the play on the shortstop side was huge. Proctor getting his first save at the SEC level was huge. Becker settling in after the first inning was huge. Just so many big things. Great to see Caleb Denny go 4 for 5. You know, it's another guy that's been a little up and down this year. It's great to see how a good attitude can get rewarded the way it has with him having such a great weekend. So a lot of storylines today.
All right, some of the comments from Mark Kingston. All of it's on our website, sportstalksc.com. Braves go down in game 2 to the Mets. The Mets win it 5-3. To split that doubleheader today. So there you go with that. And what you got here at the very end, Chris, anything else you want to share?
You know, it's curious that Mark Kingston talked about an appeal process, and you know how I feel about umpires, and I think we put them on way too high a pedestal, and they need to answer questions when they make mistakes, especially a mistake like that that should be able to be corrected relatively easily. And if you have the power to toss a manager or head coach based on your misinterpretation of the rules, there's something wrong about that. I'm sorry, there's something wrong about that. Mark Kingston should not have to sit out a game when he was right. It'd be one thing if he were wrong. He was right.
Very good. And with that, we will wrap it up. Thanks to everybody. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.